clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to SST on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube. You can also follow along on social media at Subway Sports Talk, Instagram, X, TikTok. We're popping stuff up on the social media all the time. Unfortunately, this would be a great time to pitch our picks as we are, you know, having a great year up until these damn playoffs. Playoffs did not go so well for the picks. We had a 1-2 for me, a 1-2 for Pat, an 0-3 for Mark Shanlugan, an 0-3 for Cody O'Connor. Probably tied for our worst week of the entire year, but you can't be discouraged now. That puts us currently just around 500 on the entire year. A mark still to be proud of, but a mark we need to make better as we push through these final weeks of the playoffs and the NFL complete season, right? We're a few weeks away from the Super Bowl. It's time to get some more picks right so we get back on the winning side of the ledger. We'll be back with picks at the end of the week, but that's not what I'm here to do today. Today, it's a Pete Kennedy solo pod, mini pod, just me, just you, talking about some football as we had a wild card weekend in some senses of the term. I will open with a few thoughts about the overarching feel of wild card weekend, but what we are going to get to on their way out, as the door slams them in the back on the way out, we're going to talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys and what possibly might come in the future for franchises like those two. We're also going to talk about a quick prediction, a quick thought exercise about the matchups we have coming up. But first, I want to go from an overarching standpoint. Just think about the wild card weekend we just had. And if you've been listening along to the podcast, you may have heard this take from me a few weeks back, maybe like 8 weeks ago at this point, if I'm being honest. It's been a little bit of a time since I brought this up to Pat Boyle and Mark and Cody O'Connor before one of our picks podcasts. But, you know, I was thinking about it this weekend, and the NFL is king, deserves to be so. It's awesome. I love it. I watch every game. It's beautiful. Don't we all? Right? Great, great thing. So I don't want this to come from like some crazy, weird, negative, anti-NFL thing. It's not what I'm doing. Not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make you think with me with things that cross my mind as I watch a wild card weekend. So I think a lot about how sports relate to one another, often make cross-sport analogies when you're trying to make a point about how this quarterback is working through his career, progressing through his arc, right? Sometimes the best comparison might be an NBA player or a baseball player, vice versa, right? And with that being said, we also have this ongoing talk on social media about these sports and the sports we love so much and we think about and talk about, care about so much. To me, the NFL is in this insane sweet spot where it doesn't necessarily matter how the product is, yet we are locked in as we are on anything else going on in the world. Again, testament to the NFL. I am there. I am one of the people locked in. But isn't it weird that we saw some trash games this weekend and all we do is sit here and rip the trash teams? And now we have some quarterbacks who are in the next round of the playoff. And you look at the NFC quarterbacks and you say, these are the four quarterbacks standing. I thought this was a quarterback league. What is this league actually? Because all we hear about all year long, the only true complaints that come about when you have friends and people on Twitter and analysts and et cetera complaining about the NFL, it's typically this type of complaining. Oh, it's such an offensive league. It's not as tough as it used to be. They don't hit like they used to. And for the Eagles, man, that's freaking true. They did not hit like they used to for the Eagles in this game. But, oh, every rule is in favor of the offense. There's so much offense. There's no more defense. Offense was bad this year, right? Am I the only one who thinks that? Now, we look around the league and you see Dak Prescott with some gaudy numbers. You see Tua Tagovailoa with some gaudy numbers. You see other quarterbacks putting up some good stats, some good performances, obviously, from some various teams and various quarterbacks around the league. However, it felt like offense was a little bit weird this year. Felt like there were some inefficiencies this year that didn't feel right. And to me, I think about this frequently. The narratives that exist in basketball, the narratives that exist in baseball, do not yet exist in the NFL. And they should start to exist. And this is what I'm talking about. In baseball, the big talking point, how do we fix baseball? How do we go away from the home run, strikeout, walk, three outcome combination that baseball has become? How do we move past that? How do we get back to action? How do we get back to more you know, getting the extra base from first to third, you know, maybe stretching that single into a double, stealing bags, tagging up, great defense, right? So it's what we talk about all the time as baseball fans. How do we get out of this three outcome sport that isn't exciting for the spectator, that has led to some great numbers, but not often great playoff performance? Happens all the time. If you listen to sports radio, you hear it all the time. Basketball, very similar. All they do in basketball nowadays is shoot threes and hunt free throws. No one plays defense anymore, and that's not fun. Okay, right? That's what we say about basketball all the time. And what do we see from that? We see the James Hardens of the world, the Luka Doncic's of the world, now Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, amongst so many other people who do so many great things in isolation, who get to the free throw line at an insane clip, who shoot threes like we've never seen people shoot threes before, right? And we're trying to say that it's negative, which has its negatives. We've also seen some of these types of teams who it's very three ball dependent, very ISO dependent, very free throw dependent, get a little tight in the playoffs, not exactly perform how you'd expect them to. People complain about that. It's not the game it used to be. Well, right now in the NFL, what I'm seeing, and the Eagles are a great example, the Dolphins are a great example, they are trying to play that three outcome sport. They're trying to do the home run, strikeout, or walk exact situation that we're seeing in baseball. Now, it's obviously not one-to-one. It's not perfect. Of course, they're going to hit some mid-range shots every once in a while. We know this. But we're seeing it more and more. And we're seeing it from teams like the Eagles, who are deemed as one of the smartest franchises in football. This ownership group, man, let me tell you, they do it all right. They do a great job. Look what they did with their draft picks, with Jalen Hurts, with their coaching staff. They figured it out. They got the most efficient group in the league. Same thing with the Miami Dolphins. Look what they do. They hit the ball deep over the top. They hit the quick hitters, let their playmakers run, and they run the ball with efficiency. What more could you need? What more do you need? It's the perfect offense. Their numbers are out of this world. When you check the Dolphins, when in any offensive statistic, they're going to be top five. Yards per play, EPA, all the fancy stats. Dolphins are up there. Eagles, for all their struggles this year, we're still in that 5-7 range in a lot of these stats. Even though when we watch these teams with our own eyes, we sit there and say, something's missing. Something's not right here. What is it? Is it a lack of commitment to the run game? Is it not taking the right shots? Is it not putting your players in the best position to succeed? I don't know. I'm not a coach. Just like I don't know how I would have exactly told James Harden to not James Harden in the playoffs. Right, but we all know, watching what he did in playoffs for year after year after year, that he needed to change something. Something wasn't working. And it's easy for us to sit here on our couch or on our podcast chair here in our home studio and say, oh, he just needs to pass more. He needs to facilitate more. Well, he's one of the best facilitators we've seen in this century. How does he do it more? How does he do it better? So I'm not saying I have the exact answers, but these conversations we had about baseball, about home run or bust, three-point free throw or bust, same situation for many offenses in the league. And some of these offenses we saw struggle in week one of the playoffs. The Dolphins got shut out. Yes, it was freezing cold. The Eagles just were throwing bubble screens to Julio Jones and Dallas Goedert, and everyone sitting at home saying, what the hell are these guys doing? Uninspired. Too simple. No adjustments. Now, can average Joe, can Joey Regular on his couch go in there on a whiteboard and draw up some adjustments? No, we can't. But we know something's wrong. For some reason, these conversations are not being had in the NFL. Not yet. Or at least not to the extent that I think they will if some of this stuff continues over the next couple of years. Because now we've seen it. We've seen it for a long time. It's been 10 plus years of quarterbacks putting up great numbers, throwing a lot of touchdowns, throwing bombs, fantasy players, electric. Not all those players are translating to the playoffs. Now, do I know how to tell Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys offense not to choke in the playoffs? No, I don't. Neither do you. Neither do clearly some of the coaches that they have. And we'll get to that later. But I think this narrative around football, which we all love so much, is going to hit some sort of bumps in the road as soon as next year. Because right now, we're all going to start getting that much smarter when we look at these teams in the regular season who beat up on bad teams, who put up crazy numbers, and we're going to say, this is not sustainable. This is not real. When it comes down to true game planning, when it's one and done, winner goes home, a winner win or go home. We're seeing time and time again, these teams not figure it out. And that's why when you look at these quarterbacks who still remain in the playoffs right now, you see Patrick Mahomes, who's still there, because what does he do? He hits the timing stuff great, but he can make things happen outside of structure. Jordan Love, for all the crap I've given him in the past, for all the times I'm now going to have to say, boy, was I maybe very, very wrong on Jordan Love and his ability. What does he do well? He's throwing the ball great in structure. He's also doing a great job out of structure, causing some beauty in the chaos. CJ Stroud, a rookie quarterback, doing a lot of the same things. Brock Purdy, for all the he can't win MVP conversations we had, one thing that he did do better than a Tua is make plays out of structure. Lamar Jackson, out of structure over and over again. Dak Prescott, not like he used to be, out of structure. Jalen Hurts, clearly maybe not 100%, not like he was last year, out of structure. And we're starting to see these three outcome, and I'll use that as like an air quote situation here, three outcome football teams, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where it's like, oh, we're going to either hit this short, let our guys create, we're going to throw it deep, we're going to run the ball down their throats. Seems like a great strategy. It seems like it's going to work out well. It can work out. It can catch lightning in a bottle. It can do that. But we've seen it over and over again that it's not sustainable. And I think more and more of these offensive gurus with these game plans, with these scripts, they're going to come out. They're going to look great for 17 weeks. And they're going to be teams that we're talking about. Oh, look at their EPA. Look at what they've done against these coverages. Look at what they've done against these types of teams. They're going to win. They're going to move on. They're going to advance. But it's not that simple. And maybe that's what makes the NFL so great, is that any given week, you can see a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team manhandle a Philadelphia Eagles team that on paper has a better roster, has a coach who was a much hotter head coaching guy than Todd Bowles, who's been looked at as a head coaching failure for the most part, or at least an average head coach. Look at Matt LaFleur, who is only an Aaron Rodgers guy, who is only winning because of him. Now he's doing it with a guy in his first year as a starter. And it leads me to that idea. Is something going to change now in the NFL? And I don't think that's the case yet, because if you look at the NBA and you look at baseball, they haven't really changed it that much. There's a few outliers, and there's a few people and pieces that are able to kind of live above that mean. And I think what's surprising to me in this playoff here is the players who we thought were the people who can live above that mean, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, we thought they were in that echelon, and it seemed like they weren't. Does that mean that they aren't forever? I don't know. But losing coordinators, losing weapons, paying your quarterback more, makes all these things more difficult. In the NBA, you have the average player, everybody from like the 40th percentile to the 70th percentile. They get strongly benefited from these systems, from these three outcomes. That goes for baseball. That goes for basketball. That's true in football now too. And now it's taking the extra. It's taking the next level for these teams to show up and get over that hump. Because for a while, we're talking about quarterback league. This is a quarterback league. If you don't have the best quarterbacks, you ain't making it to the edge of the playoffs here, right? That's what everyone's been saying for past 10, 15 years. If you don't have a top-tier quarterback, you're not doing nothing. Look at the quarterbacks in the playoffs right now. Rookie CJ Stroud, first-year starter Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff. That's more than half the quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. The other three, Lamar, Mahomes, Josh Allen, all three who excel in moving, creating plays out of structure, not just hitting those three outcomes of quick pass, deep shot, run the ball. So these conversations about, oh, you got to have the top tier quarterback, you got to have this, you got to have that, I think it's going to change just a little bit moving forward. And we're going to start looking at this a little bit differently, and not just like you need the quarterback, pay him if you got him, right? Because again, it's not adding up like it was. In fact, it hasn't added up. The best efficiency in football has and still is a good quarterback on a rookie contract. And now you have him right here. Baker Mayfield making nothing. That's how this team stayed together with some talent. Brock Purdy making nothing. That's how they pay all these guys. Jordan Love still in a rookie deal. CJ Stroud in a rookie deal. Jared Goff making some good money. But who did they get in this trade for Jared Goff? Extra shots at the apple here. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta. Wow. I guess maybe the efficiency the Lions found was not the quarterback on the rookie deal, but a multitude of great level talents at the skill positions. So team building changes. And that's something that I'm extremely interested in moving forward, because there's all these quarterbacks who we kind of feel like we know aren't the driving force of their offenses. They're not the driving force behind wins and losses every single game. And that's why I stand here and say, wins are not just a quarterback stat. I heard Ryan Russillo say this, and it's a perfect, perfect analogy. Joe Flacco and Matt Stafford kind of came up in a very similar time in the NFL. Passing was really going off. They were throwing the ball 600 times a game. In a season, passing touchdowns through the roof, the whole nine. Matt Stafford was a career loser. Matt Stafford couldn't get it done. Joe Flacco, he had the right stuff just to get it over the hump, to do the right stuff. Do we ever think that Joe Flacco was a better quarterback than Matt Stafford? Absolutely not. And I'm not just saying this because to dump on Flacco because he just lost, because that's like a different guy, right? But we looked at Matt Stafford as a loser. We called him Stat Padford because all he did was put up stats and lose. And we looked at Joe Flacco as a guy who can get it done, who can win a championship, who can make a run, not really caring enough to take the time to realize who were around these people, who were coaching these teams. In the NBA, for a long time, in the 2010s, in the end of 2000s, it was all about the big three. That's what it was all about. Things changed. It wasn't about the big three anymore. Couldn't afford a full team. Couldn't get enough complementary pieces for those stars. That, to me, is the same thing as the star quarterback right now. Do you want the star quarterback and Marquez Valdes-Scantling as your leading receiver? Or do you want the decent quarterback with two or three all-pro weapons? It's a great conversation right now. We are going to see live in this playoff if that's going to come to fruition. And if we end up with Mahomes versus Lamar in the conference championship, and in the NFC, there ain't really good quarterbacks, so we can't have that conversation there, but we'll see it in the playoff, in the Super Bowl. If it's Goff, if it's Purdy, if it's Jordan Love, who has a multitude of weapons here against the quarterback, who's probably underarmed when it comes to weapons, if they can overcome what this other team is fighting with. So I think the big three in basketball, coming down to the dynamic duo with better supporting cast, is going to be the new conversation in football when it's pay my quarterback 40 plus million with really skin and bones, weapons and O-line and defense versus reasonable contract quarterback, fill out the roster with elite talent elsewhere. That's the real conversation that's about to happen in these next couple weeks of the NFL playoffs. And I'm intrigued to see how it goes, because what I say in my heart right now is I'm still betting on Mahomes. I'm betting on Allen. They're playing each other, so you got to pick one of them, right? Betting on Lamar Jackson. But if Brock Purdy, who we know is good, but we know he's not as good as the three guys I just named, is able to do more and win a Super Bowl, if Jared Goff is able to do more and win a Super Bowl, we're going to start talking more and more and more about the makeup of a team and about the way that offenses are structured moving forward. So let's talk about some of these teams specifically. Before we get into the next couple games that I want to talk about for divisional round weekend, I got to talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Dallas Cowboys and Eagles, you can argue until you're blue in the face, who had the worst loss in the wild card round? Both embarrassing, both horrendous. funny to me how Giants fans get some satisfaction in this regard, that these two teams just lost and got embarrassed in the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Giants should be embarrassed about a lot on their own, right? So that's a side for you real quick. But fixing the Cowboys is like fixing baseball right now. We say we're sick of it. We say we've seen it before. And yet we come back out here and all we care about is on base percentage and walks and home runs. Cowboys are doing just that. They're hitting a lot of home runs. They're getting drawing a lot of walks in the regular season. And then things are tightening up in the playoffs. And now we have years of data of this happening. 12 wins, 3 years in a row, and not a conference championship to show for it. To me, you start looking around this roster and this coaching staff, and you have to make a decision. And this goes right hand in hand with where the Eagles are and where I'm going to go with them. There are times where an NFL team makes a decision at head coach, and almost everybody thinks it's a bad idea. And then things go better than you expect. And then your team wins 12 games in a row, or 12 games 3 years in a row. And you say, oh, maybe Mike McCarthy has something here. Maybe Mike McCarthy is an answer. Maybe he is a good offensive coach. Maybe this is the year the Cowboys get over that hump. I mean, he's done it before with Aaron Rodgers. He won a Super Bowl, right? You start talking yourself into it. Nick Sirianni, on the other hand, for the Philadelphia Eagles, new coach on the block, new way of looking at things, new energy, fourth down, let's go for it. Let's spam this play because we know it works, the tush push. Let's run some crazy stuff late in games because we have that confidence. We have this new way of looking at things. We have efficiency that you just don't. Okay. So last year, let alone last year, midway through the year, Sirianni's still a great guy, still great coach. He goes 10-1 to start the season. Now Sirianni stinks. Now Sirianni's got to go. To me, Nick Sirianni deserves and earns a longer leash to go, because you shouldn't be able to go from the hottest thing on the block to off the block or on the chopping block in just one season where you made a playoff. Now, you could argue that that's the type of decision-making you need in an organization to continuously compete. We've seen it go both ways. We've seen the Steelers and Mike Tomlin consistently make playoffs and make no noise over the last 7 or 8 years. We've seen that with the Cowboys. People say Mike Tomlin's great, and people say Mike McCarthy stinks. Do I think they're equal coaches? Absolutely not. I think Mike Tomlin's better. But to me, when we go into something and say, Mike McCarthy's not the answer, how is this the guy that the Cowboys chose to hand their franchise over to? To now 3 years in a row of disappointing endings in the playoffs? That's enough for me. I'm done. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm moving on. We got real candidates out there. We got a Mike Vrabel out there. Got a Bill Belichick out there who you can argue is the right thing or the wrong thing. You got real coaching candidates out there right now. You gave it 3 years. You got what you expected with the roster that you have in place, with talent on offense, with a very talented defense, with a quarterback who is a top 10 quarterback, and you can't get over the hump. You got your answer. For the Eagles, to me, it is way easier than that. Nick Sirianni absolutely deserves at least one, probably 2 to 3 more years. Because you're telling me from just last year where this guy was literally the greatest thing since sliced bread, he's now bad? He now deserves to be fired after he lost both his coordinators? We constantly don't realize how much of an effect that could make. And Jalen Hurts is a part of this conversation as well, just like Dak Prescott is. Should the Cowboys move on from Dak Prescott? No, they shouldn't, because the grass ain't always greener, and finding that replacement for them, who are going to be picking in the 20s, is not going to be easy. And if you want to pay a free agent quarterback who's going to be out there, because there's never really any anyway, but if you wanted to, you're paying him similar enough to what Dak Prescott makes, where it's not merely moving the needle. You stick with Dak. But Mike McCarthy, who everyone thought wasn't the answer, it turns out he's not the answer. Nick Sirianni, everyone said he was the answer. He wasn't the answer this year. But if you look at the ebbs and flows of the NFL, and you heard about the Super Bowl loser always kind of coming down to earth the next year, it's true. And guess what? A lot of those teams make it back. A lot of those teams get back to contention. And usually, it's with the same head coach. Look at it right now. Go back a couple years. We're going to go right back to the Los Angeles Rams in 2019. Sean McVay, right coach, wrong quarterback. They made a tough decision. They got a championship out of it 3 years later. The Chiefs kind of don't really count in this regard because of the combo that they have. The Mahomes-Reed combo doesn't really count. But you look at the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy G gets them to a Super Bowl. Is that the right guy for the job? Let's make a tough decision. We move on from Jimmy G. We make these other moves. They make a draft pick. Draft pick missed. They still figured it out. Coach was right. Quarterback was wrong. Quarterback for now is right. We'll see if it lasts. Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow, right quarterback. Their coach, Zach Taylor, looks like the right coach. Looks like they made the right decision. Now, after they lose the Super Bowl, they make a run in the second half of the season. They make the playoffs. They make a little run. Still looks like Zach Taylor's pretty good. Joe Burrow clearly still pretty good. Now Joe Burrow gets hurt. He's out for the year. Kind of throws them out of the conversation a little bit as well. But Zach Taylor again proved that he's the right coach as he willed that team or helped will that team with Jake Browning to near playoff appearance again. Right coach. Simple. You look, go back even further. Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks, make the playoffs. They lose. I'm sorry. Make the Super Bowl and they win. Stick with the coach. Stick with the quarterback. Make another Super Bowl. They lose. They don't get back. Is that because Pete Carroll? Is that because Russell Wilson? You can make a lot of arguments for both. In fact, it goes back to this idea of when they had the efficiency at quarterback, they were good enough all around to compete for Super Bowls. Once Russell Wilson started getting paid more, they couldn't pay the defense like they wanted to. They lost that electric factory of a defensive backfield. Some of those guys got older. And what? Did Pete Carroll become a bad coach? Not in my eyes. They still competed. They couldn't compete at the same level. Not because of Pete Carroll. Because they needed to make a tough decision at quarterback, which they finally did. And it led to pretty good things so far. They still haven't found the answer there. To me, the Philadelphia Eagles are in that similar situation. They have the coach. They have the quarterback. This year was a year of transfer. And we thought because of these close games that they won, that they were actually going to do it again, that they were above it, that they were above injury. They were above paying everybody too much. They were above all that. What came back to bite them this year was their defensive backfield being old, being overpaid, or being too young and underpaid. That was their inefficiency this year. That on top of the fact that they had a grind of a season last year. They had a full gambit all the way to the Super Bowl. Incredibly healthy. No major injuries. This year, what do they deal with? Injuries all the time. Jalen Hurts, hurt since week 10. AJ Brown missed a playoff game. That offensive line, another year older. That defensive line, only real strength of the defense. Linebackers stunk. DBs stunk. Nick Sirianni's the wrong guy for the job? Nick Sirianni's the reason? I'm not buying it. And to me, that's the clear difference between the Cowboys and the Eagles right now. You look at the Cowboys roster, and it's really hard to find the inefficiencies. It's really hard to find where you can make this roster extraordinarily better. They had some of the best DBs in the game, even with Trayvon Diggs getting out on the year-long injury. They have some of the best pass rushers in the game. They stopped the run decently well. They got weapons, a couple of them, great ones. They had a good running back, a good quarterback. Where are you looking? Where are you finding them? Dan Quinn's been there for a minute. Guess what happens to Dan Quinn in the playoffs frequently? Falls up short. Mike McCarthy's been there for a minute now. What's happening with him every year? Falling up short. There you go. Find the inefficiencies on the roster. If they exist, the coach deserves to get another chance for this roster to get right. Because we saw what happens when the roster's right. He's the right man for the job. Can't be the right man for the job with a good roster and the wrong man for the job when the roster isn't there. That's where so many of these teams go wrong. And that's how you see teams make these same mistakes over and over again. When they commit to a coach and their team stinks, they got no players, and they underperform. That's the coach's fault. That's how the business works. That's how GMs keep their jobs. That's how owners keep morale up. by bringing in new people, new voices, a new culture, a new way to win. No, the way to win is the same. The guy who leads to winning is the same. Nick Sirianni is not the problem right now. It's losing two coordinators. It was a horrible back end of your defense, and it was injuries that you didn't deal with the year before. If the Eagles came back next year with a semi-similar roster, some better defenders on the back end in the defensive backfield and linebackers, and a healthier Jalen Hurts, you're going to be shocked if they're in the conference championship? Is Nick Sirianni all of a sudden a good coach again? That's stupid to me that you're going to sit here and say, last year he was the best, now he sucks, get rid of him. Doesn't make sense to me. Cowboys, we never thought McCarthy was the answer. We tricked ourselves watching 12-win seasons. He's still not the answer. That's the difference between the Cowboys and the Eagles. All right. Pete Kennedy, Subway Sports Talk. Let's do a quick run-through of these matchups we have here in the division round. Another good week of football, we think, right? Because we thought we had a good week of football last week. Not really many good games. The best game by far was the Rams and the Lions, where we had very solid offensive outputs. We had some good defensive competitive play. All around good games. Not a 24-point blowout. Not multiple pick sixes. Not fourth quarters that didn't matter. That was the best game by far. We saw a few other good games. You know, we had some semi-ish close games. We had the Steelers make it interesting in the second half. That's about it. Eagles didn't show up. Cowboys didn't show up. Dolphins didn't show up. Browns didn't show up. That was the wild card weekend. Here in the division round, we have some interesting numbers, in my opinion. And what I want to do here is kind of give you my first thoughts on when I saw these lines and how I thought these games were going to play out. Right now, first game of the weekend, Texans at the Ravens. Ravens get the week off on the bye. They've been one of the best teams in the league all year, fully earned that one seed. We know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. Their weaknesses are still on the offensive playmaker front, with Mark Andrews being out, though he might be making a return. Odell Beckham and Zay Flowers being kind of the leaders in that clubhouse, Isaiah Likely making some progress. Decent bunch, not a great bunch, but Lamar making up for some of that. Their defense has been great, creating pressure, led the league in sacks this year. We know what they can do. We got a 9-point spread in this game. And my initial reaction is that's way too big. That's a huge number. Am I going to come out here and bet the Texans? Maybe. Should have done that this week. Put them in a teaser. Should have took them straight. Obviously, right? Hindsight's 20/20. This matchup to me, and the reason why I think this is too big, is because CJ Stroud, for him being in his first year, already looks like one of those quarterbacks who's going to overcome weaknesses, who's going to, out of structure, do that extra bunch to put this team in a position to make plays. That's something that you cannot account for typically in a rookie quarterback. That's something that when you look around this league to some of the best offenses we have, you cannot account for. And that's the teams that just lost. It was the Eagles this year, the Dolphins this year, the Browns this year, and the Cowboys. And the Browns are a different conversation, obviously, on their fourth quarterback. It was a big-time baseball offense. They were running the ball, and they were throwing it deep. That's what they did. It bit them in the ass with the back-to-back picks, and it was over, right? But on top of that, C.J. Stroud against a great defense, probably a top three in the league this year, can constantly put the ball in positions for his guys to make plays, constantly, whether it was on a one-step drop, three-step drop, or rolling around making some extra time. To me, this spread is all too high. The Baltimore Ravens, to me, are a Super Bowl favorite for the right reasons, but I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk for them. And I think this should be, in theory, one of the more competitive matchups that we've seen to this point in the playoffs. Because you look around the rest of the matchups here, and we don't know what we're going to get out of some of these teams. The Green Bay Packers is the next game. They're at the San Francisco 49ers. That's also Saturday night. Green Bay Packers are kind of... They're kind of the it team right now. Jordan Love is the it quarterback right now. He's got a lot of that same juice that CJ Stroud has. He's hitting stuff in structure, out of structure, giving his guys great chances to make big time plays. This spread's also 9.5 to be exact. And to me, with the San Francisco 49ers and how they win games, it makes more sense to me. And maybe that's unfair to the Packers, but I think that's more of a testament to what the 49ers do on a consistent basis, which is blow people out or play down to the last second. Or occasionally get blown out if they're playing the Ravens. I guess that's possible too. But the Ravens have this flair for the dramatic. The Ravens have played many close games. Yeah, they've had their share of blowouts this year where they've dominated people. But we've seen over time a quarterback like Lamar, who has had some different struggles when it comes down to these moments, really not get things off as easy as he should. So that's why the Niners at 9.5 makes a little bit more sense to me than the Ravens at 9. The Packers are definitely it right now. However, and I know I got this super wrong last week as I bet the Cowboys and wanted to double down and end up doubling down in real life on them, which bit me in the ass. Packers still do have technical weaknesses that the Niners will exploit. And that's the difference between Kyle Shanahan and Mike McCarthy, which feels stupid to say out loud. Because again, no one ever thought Mike McCarthy was the answer. People have always thought Kyle Shanahan is the answer, even with his shortcomings. So when Dallas couldn't take advantage of the Packers, I think the Niners can. I think it's more likely the Niners can blow out the Packers than the Ravens blowing out the Texans. That's just kind of my initial thoughts on the bunch, but you always got to beware of a team like the Packers and the Texans for that matter, hitting that stride, getting the first one off their back, coming in hot with nothing to lose against the one seed with a chance to be one of these teams that makes the surprise run to a Super Bowl. So there's a puncher's chance. I'm not saying the Packers don't have it. They do, especially if they come out slinging like they did against Dallas, chose to accept the return on the first possession of the game. What do? Right down the field, touchdown. Can the 49ers respond to that? They've had their struggles, but that first quarter is imperative for both of these teams. Packers probably a little more likely to do well playing from behind as Love will let it fly, and those playmakers, they got some juice. So that's why I think the first quarter here in this game is absolutely the key. If the Packers score in their first possession, it's going to be a dogfight. If the Niners score in the first possession, I can see them winning by 2 touchdowns. On to Sunday, we have an interesting matchup of one where if you told us, you know, 5 years ago, you'd say, yeah, I bet these guys probably face off in the playoffs a lot. Well, at the time, they weren't in the same conference, but you might think two former first-round picks would be living in the playoffs, and Goff did just that for the first couple of years of his career with the Rams. Baker had his little runs as well with Cleveland. Now we got the Buccaneers at the Lions, 6-point spread. To me, saw this line, Lions being 6-point favorites. I think it's pretty properly placed. I think it's telling about the difference between the Ravens and the Niners and the Detroit Lions, because I think the Bucs are just like the Packers and the Texans, where they have some juice, they have the playmaking, they have this like nothing to lose mentality. They got a leader in Baker Mayfield who is, you know, doing better than expected. But the Lions are not yet the Niners or the Ravens, and they have to overcome some more things to make this thing all work, to make this thing right. So I do think this is properly placed here around 6. I would have guessed if I was playing Guess the Lines with Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal that it'd be a more of a 4.5, 5.5, but the 6 is fine. I'm like kind of torn on the situation here. Part of it though, and this goes back to the gambling side of things, it's really hard to disassociate round 1 to round 2. Really hard. Round 1 for the Lions. Dogfight. Down to the wire. Comes down to timeouts and running the clock out in a 1-point game with everything on the line. And you remember that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just went off and dominated the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's really hard for everyone to disassociate that from the next week. But we've seen this before. We've seen many teams come out in wildcard weekend and win when the odds were against them. And then all of a sudden, they're humbled quickly. So when you look at this one, Lions and Buccaneers, you have to ask yourself, are the Lions a true blue blood, air quotes, of this season? Are they a team that is built better on all facets than their opposition to this point? To the Rams, that was a classic 4-5. That was a 4-5 matchup where both of those teams were exactly where they belonged. They just got the unlucky draw facing one another. Because I'll tell you right now, if the Rams had the Eagles, looks like they would have whooped their ass too. If the Rams had the Cowboys, looks like they would have whooped their ass too. Everyone around week 10 was like, all right, if you're going to end up in the wild card spot, you don't want to be in that spot where you're going to face the NFC East runner up. You don't want to be the winner of the NFC South because, God damn, it's going to suck to go play against the Eagles or Cowboys. Well, at that point, the Rams were like, damn, I wish I was in that spot because I wish I played the Eagles or the Cowboys, man. They got the Lions. That was evenly matched. It really was. So now, when you think about the Buccaneers, did they catch a dog on its last leg in the Philadelphia Eagles and take advantage of that? And now they're going to face a dog on all four ready to run? That's my lean at the moment. Everyone gets excited. Everyone sees the score from the week prior. Oh, the Bucs are going to keep this close, take them at 6. I actually lean Lions right now. I think that they have a better game, or what looks like a better game, against the Buccaneers. But that goes because the Rams, at this point of the season, are a better team than all the teams that lost and the Buccaneers. So I like the Lions there so far. Picks come later. And then the marquee matchup, the big one, the rematch, 3 times in 4 years. This is what we sign up for when it comes to the NFL. This is exactly what we want. We want Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes head-to-head, mano-a-mano. We've seen it before. It's been electric factory before. Now, I don't know what we're going to get as far as offensive output from these two teams, because they've both been very up and down. You like to think the Chiefs really figured something out there in their most recent matchup with the Miami Dolphins. But that goes back again to disassociating what you saw from week 1 of the playoffs to week 2 of the playoffs. The Dolphins were a dog on their last leg. The Dolphins were a team with all sorts of defensive injuries. The Dolphins are a team that have seen their star playmaking wide receiver Tyreek Hill hobble game after game for the final 4 weeks. Their second playmaker, Jalen Waddle, missing games in the final couple weeks. Raheem Mostert on the injured list final couple weeks. And the more you think about it, and hindsight is 20/20, the Dolphins were not prepared for that fight. On top of it being freezing cold. On top of it being Tua not being the answer possibly. Right? On top of it being the home run walk mentality of their offense, where it's quick, 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 in structure, wow, how do you stop this well-oiled machine? How does the defense prepare for all this motion, for all that? Well, we've seen it now again. When it comes down to the tight playoff matchups, some of that stuff doesn't quite work as good. And those lack of overcoming skills that Tua has, or doesn't have for that matter, they showed up a little bit more. So to that, I think the Chiefs will struggle a little bit more on offense here, and they are +3 at the Buffalo Bills. But when it comes down to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, they have that extra juice, albeit Patrick Mahomes, that can overcome some of those shortcomings. And they have a defense that can overcome some of the shortcomings of the offense. Buffalo Bills are kind of similar right now. A little bit of Jekyll and Hyde on defense, a little banged up all year as well, playing good defense relatively. They haven't been gangbusters. They've been giving up points to some teams. They've now won 6 in a row, but most of those wins haven't been that convincing. And going against the Steelers, that was the matchup of the century for any team. In fact, they got lucky they moved the game out of the snow because they didn't want an uglier game. They wanted to be able to sling the pill. And what did Josh Allen do? He hit both his tight ends for the first touchdown. Stephon Diggs was cooking in the first half. They took a commanding lead. They squeezed the ball, and they took over. They won that game, even though it got a little more interesting. So looking now, Chiefs offense, semi-strength because of Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs defense, strength because they've been good all year. Bills offense, a little bit on the uptick, running the ball better. Might be tough to run the ball against the Chiefs here, but better offense running. Their passing is looking to be moving in the right direction, and their defense is a little bit a semi-strength because of the playmaking ability, and they do have some good efficiency numbers as far as defense. This is a perfect spread. Perfect line. 3 points in Buffalo. That's what it's supposed to be. And now you have to ask yourself the tough question that I'm asking myself leading up to our picks on Friday. When you go down swinging with your picks, do you want to go down swinging with Patrick Mahomes or against Patrick Mahomes? I chose him in the first week. Felt like the right move. Worked out well. Only pick I hit this week. This matchup, however, this is not the one where he can now take advantage of a dog on their last leg. This Bills team, for all the negatives that you can say about their last 6 weeks and their mediocre wins over some bad teams, they're finding a way. That's exactly what the Dolphins have not been doing for the last 6 weeks. They've been finding a way to not win, just like the Eagles, finding ways to not win. So the Chiefs are in for it here, in for a dogfight. I think they're up for it. And my gut is to go down swinging with Patrick Mahomes, which is why I lean +3 and lean the Chiefs, keeping this one close. And boy, do I hope we get a down to the last minute Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills playoff game yet again. That's all I got. Subway Sports Talk. We got a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff here. And it's exciting. I still have those questions about what's happening in this league right now. I still have those questions if this is all as good as we're being told it is. If this is all as good as we want it to be. So I haven't seen great football yet in the playoffs. It's only been 1 week. And maybe you can sit here and tell me that's the wild card weekend every time. Doesn't feel that way. It feels like there's some missing steps in this season right now. And I think it comes back down to the conversation I was having earlier. I want to hear what you think, though. Hit me on social media at Subway Sports Talk on Instagram, X, TikTok. Hit me up there. Tell me what you think. I want to hear from you. Appreciate you very much. And we'll be back with some picks later in the week with Pat Boyle, Cody O'Connor, and Mark Shanlugan. But for now, that's all we got. Subway Sports Talk. Talk to you soon. Cheers.